بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الخلق أجمعين، محمد وآل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين. Page 123 of Fiqh, Prayer of Ihtiyat or Salatul Ihtiyat. Issue 312. The instructions of performing Prayer of Ihtiyat are these. After the prayer in which the doubt occurred, without doing any of the things that break the state of the prayer, like talking or turning from the Qibla, one immediately stands. If the prayer of Ihtiyat is to be performed standing, makes the niyat of prayer of Ihtiyat, only niyat by heart, says the Takbiratul Ihram, recites Surah Hamd in a whisper, performs ruku' and two sajdas, and recites tashahhud and salam. And if the prayer of ihtiyat that is wajib is of two rak'at, after the second sajda, one stands and performs the second rak'at, and after the second sajda of the second rak'at, one recites the tashahhud and salam. In prayer of ihtiyat, it is, let us say, like morning prayer, except there is no surah and no qunut in it. And because it is part of the prayer, so after salam of the prayer, when there was doubt, whether doubt between third or fourth rak'at, or second and third rak'at, or any other doubt which necessitates prayer of ihtiyat, so he should not turn his face away from Qibla, should not do any act which invalidates the prayer. Right away stand and have the intention by heart. The intention here cannot be said by tongue, because saying it by tongue means an extra word, and that will invalidate the prayer. The intention should be by heart, that I am praying prayer of ihtiyat one rak'at or two rak'at, depends on type of his doubt, and say takbiratul ihram, Allahu Akbar, and then he recites Surah Hamd. Even Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim of Surah Hamd should be in whispering, because as we say, this is instead of third or fourth rak'at, which is usually recited, tasbihat are recited in whispering. So Surah Hamd here should be whispering, even Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, though Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim in general, it is mustahab to recite it loudly, but here in rak'at of ihtiyam, it should be in whispering. Ruku' and two sujood, and then tashahhud and salam. So this is the way of reciting prayer of ihtiyat. Now we come to another subject, qada of forgotten sajda or tashahhud. Now if somebody forgets the tashahhud or forgets one of the two sajdas in a prayer, and later on after, let us say, entering into another rukun, he realized that he has not done tashahhud or he has not done one sajda, then at the end of the prayer he has to do qada of that. And the details are like this. Issue 313. If a sajda or the first tashahhud is forgotten, and after moving to the ruku' of the following rak'at, it is remembered, then after the completion of the prayer, the qada of the forgotten sajda or tashahhud, and the two sajdas of sajda sahw for having forgotten must be performed. see if he forget one sajda, he did one sujood and he forgot the second one. If he stands and while standing he realized that one sajda is missing, then he can sit and do the second sajda and stand again for subhaniyat or for hamd and surah, depend on which rak'at he is. But if he enters in ruku' is rukun. Now you cannot break the rukun because you cannot add a rukun. It is too late to do it. So here you have to do qada of it at end of the prayer. When the prayer finish, you say assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Then you have intention that qada of one sujood, you go for sujood. Or if tashahud was missing in second rak'at and you missed tashahud, you stood up for subhaniyat right away. And then if while doing subhaniyat you remember that tashahud is missing, then you can sit and do tashahud and stand, and for that additional standing, two sajda sahu is necessary. But if you entered ruku' and then you remember that it was second rak'at and tashahud is missing, then now it's too late to do it because you have entered into ruku'. So you wait till you finish your prayer. After finishing the prayer, you have intention of qada or tashahud, and you do tashahud at end of the prayer. And also two sajda sahu are necessary for the extra, for the having the forgotten things that should be performed. So qada and two sujood of sahu. Yes, because you have not entered into another rukun. You stop subhaniyat, you sit down. No rukun, no. You have missed one sajda, so you go back to your own position. Sit after amen. When you sit, it becomes like you have finished the first sajda, you are sitting after the first sajda. Then you go to the second sajda. Two are rukun and prayer is batil. In the footnote, you see, if the final tashahud is forgotten and one has not broken one's state of a prayer by speaking or turning from the qibla, etc., one performs the tashahud with the niyyat of fulfilling one's obligation and recites the salam and then performs the two sajdas of sajda sahu. I mean, he said earlier, you see, if a sajda or the first tashahud is forgotten, in issue 313, he said the first tashahud. Now the question comes, if the second tashahud was missing and he entered into salam right away without doing tashahud. Now here, because he is in the same state, if before turning the face he remembers or realizes that tashahud was not mentioned, then he has intention of whatever is his obligation and do tashahud and salam again while sitting. He starts tashahud and then salam after that, and then after that he will do two sajda sahu for missing the tashahud. If you are not turning the face, no. Because Allahu Akbar mentioning is remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not an additional word to break the prayer. Moving hand is also not to break the prayer. Break is if you turn from the qibla to the back, or you move, walk for example, or you speak, or you laugh, or some other things which will invalid the prayer, you know.
Once you turn the face, it doesn't break the
law. Little turning, if this was discussed before, that little turning will not break the prayer. Some say, well, even up to 90 degrees, though, for ihtiyat should not be done, that will not break the prayer. A little turning is okay, that will not break the prayer. But if one turns completely to the back and is looking to the back, for example, or he changed his position to do, then naturally the shape of the prayer has been changed. In that case, then only qada may be to be done.
So,
You stop your subhaniyat and you sit down. If two sajdahs were done, only tashahud was missing, then you start tashahud, complete tashahud, and then stand for the third rakat. If one sajdah was missing, you sit and go for sujood, say subhana rabbi al-a'la wa bihamdi, sit, and well, if it is second rakat, do tashahud. If it is not second rakat, third rakat, you can stand for fourth rakat as normal. And for that extra standing and extra reciting subhaniyat, that you need sajdah sahu beside, and sajdah sahu only, because you have performed your duty. If you entered ruku', now ruku' you cannot break it, you have entered into another ruku'. So the only thing you have to do is qada of it after end of the prayer. Now we come to another subject, and that is the causes of sajdah sahu. We say it for sajdah sahu, it comes in many places. So what are the causes for that? It is wajib to perform sajdah sahu for several things. First, that during the prayer, one unintentionally speaks ordinary words. Now, during the prayer, if somebody speaks intentionally, we said before, any word intentionally said will break the prayer. But if somebody unintentionally speaks any ordinary word which is not related to prayer, here there is additional word, and he needs to perform sajdah sahu for it. For example, somebody comes and unintentionally says, just wait. Somebody knocking the door and unintentionally you say, just wait. This wait is an extra word, unintentionally came. You have not meant to say it. Then for that, it is an additional word. Or a child is there and you are nervous and unintentionally say, be careful, for example, unintentionally. As we said, if it is intentionally, it will break the prayer, but without realizing it, just as a reaction to something, you say one extra word, that extra word means sajdah sahu, because it is said sahu. Sahu means by mistake. Yesu, by mistake, he forgot. Because it was done because of forgetfulness. You are not aware of what you're saying. You have just forgot you are a time of the prayer as a reaction. That is meaning of sahu. Well, whatever it is, but you say ordinary words, not like if you say salawat, for example, that is not ordinary word. It will not break the prayer. If you recite dua at time of a prayer, that is extra to prayer, dua. But that will not break the prayer, because dua is allowed in a prayer. Remembering Allah is allowed in a prayer. Salawat is allowed in a prayer. So these are not ordinary words. You say whatever word which will break the prayer, if it is said intentionally. Second, reciting an uncalled for salam. I mean, if you want to say salam of the prayer by mistake, in second rak'at, instead of going standing up for third rak'at, after finishing tashahud, he starts assalamu alayka ayyuha nabi wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, just by mistake. So, if this uncalled salam is said, then again, that is an extra thing, mistake or sahu, by forgetfulness he said it. For that he needs two sajdahs of sahu. For example, thinking that the prayer is over, one recites As-salamu alayna wa ala ibadillahi as-salihin, or As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. So this is salam for that sajda saw is necessary. Now if somebody says As-salamu alayka ayyuha an-nabi wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, will that mean sajda saw? He says no, because this is part of tashahud, as he said earlier. The tasreed, but As-salamu alayka ayyuha an-nabi wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh is a part of the final tashahud, and for it to be a part of any other tashahud is not clear, but it does not become counted as an uncalled for salam. So it is part of the middle tashahud, not the final tashahud, and not part of salam. So if it is not part of salam, if you say it after tashahud, that is not uncalled for salam, and there is no need for sajda sahu. In the footnote, it's two stars. If even a part of these two salams are recited in the wrong place, then sajda sahu is necessary. And if both salams are unintentionally recited in the wrong place, the prayer is to be continued and sajda sahu is enough. So whether part of this salam, not necessarily As-salamu alayna wa ala abadillahi as-salihin, all of it. If you say As-salamu, then he remembered, well, he's entering salam, no, this is the second rak'at. Only one word extra, again says the salam. Or if he recites both the salam, till As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and again, before turning the face, he realized that it was second rak'at, he has to complete third and fourth. So for that, sajda salam is sufficient. Then, for a forgotten sajda that was to be performed in the prayer, in which case, as has been stated, after the prayer it is wajib to perform the qada of the sajda, as well as the two sajdas of sajda sahu. Now, the third place where sajda sahu is necessary, if somebody missed one sajda in the prayer, as we said, he need to make qada of that. Besides qada, he need to have two sajdas of sahu. Fourth, for having forgotten the whole or part of a tashahud. Again, if you forget tashahud, all of it or part of it, then as mentioned before, he needs to make qada, but again, after qada, he has to do two sajdas of sahu. No, qada will do after end of the prayer. After say As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, then he has intention of qada of one sajda, he go to sujood, say Subhana Rabbi al-A'la wa bihamdi, Allahu Akbar, now his prayer finished. No tashahud, only sujood is missing. If sujood, if tashahud, then there is no need for sajda, because sajda is not missing. So when he says As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, then he has intention of qada of tashahud. He says, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, wahdahu la sharika lah, wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh, Allahumma salli ala Muhammadi wa ali Muhammad. Al tashahud finished. Of course, when he finished tashahud, then he has intention of two sajdas of sahu, and again, he will go for sujood and perform sajda of sahu. Fifth, for doubting between 4 and 5 rak'ats. We mentioned this, if somebody has doubt whether his prayer is in 4 rak'ats or in 5th rak'ats, for that doubt he needs only to perform 2 sajdas of sahu. Sixth, for standing when one should be sitting, and sitting when one should be standing, according to essential ihtiyat. So according to ihtiyat al-wajib, if somebody stands in a place which he should not stand, let us say in the second rak'at, before saying tashahud, he stands, and then he remembers that no, he should do tashahud, he sits and does tashahud, now that is extra standing, he needs two sajdas of sahu. Or if he sits unnecessarily while he should stand, again he needs two sajdas of sahu because of that extra thing. Now how to perform sajdas of sahu is explained in issue 314. The way of performing sajdas sahu is this. After the salams of the prayer, one immediately makes the intention of that I am doing, performing two sajdas of sahu, urbatan Allah ta'ala, and put one's forehead on a substance on which to prostrate is sahih, and then go for sujood on writing. And then in sujood, he will not say Subhana Rabbi al-A'la wa bihamdih, no. In sujood, he say Bismillah wa billah, As-salamu alayka ayyuhal nabi wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. So after end of the prayer, after he says Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, he has intention of sajda sahu, go to sujood and recite Bismillah wa billah, Assalamu alayka ayyuhan nabiyyu wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, then sit, Allahu Akbar, again go to sujood, Bismillah wa billah, Assalamu alayka ayyuhan nabiyyu wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and then recite tashahud and Salam. The fear of what? In sujood, the fear of sujood is only this. Bismillah wa billah, assalamu alayka ayyuha al-Nabi wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Not Subhana Rabbi al-A'la wa bihamdih, Subhanallah, 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 no. Yeah. No, you don't get up, you know. And then, after.
So you are sitting for a prayer, and you are finished. As-salamu alayka wa al-Nabi wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. As-salamu alayna wa ala al-Azhiya al-Swadiqin. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته. الله أكبر. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته. الله أكبر. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله، اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر.
There's only third salam, it's sufficient as you know. Now in the footnote you see, if a prayer of ihtiyat is also to be performed, it must be performed both before sajda saw and before qada of sajda or tashahud. Now if somebody has a prayer of ihtiyat and at the same time he did one sahu, an extra word or whatever sahu, so he has two duties, one ihtiyat, salatul ihtiyat, one or two rak'at, whatever it is, and two sajdat of sahw. Which one to be done first? He said first salatul ihtiyat to be done, and after salatul ihtiyat, then you can do sajdat sahw. Or if you have qada of sajdat or qada of tashahud, again you have to do qada of sajdat or tashahud, and then two sajdas of sahu. Or if you have salat al-ihtiyat and qada of tashahud and qada of sajda, first you should do salat al-ihtiyat and then second you perform qada of sajda or qada of tashahud. Now we come to another subject, Salatul Musafir, prayer of a traveler. We come to Ahkam of traveling and the way to perform the prayer at time of traveling. It is wajib for travelers to pray qasr, that is to say, to pray two rak'ats in a place of four rak'ats when certain conditions are met. Because there are certain conditions for the one to be called as a traveler. First, that the journey is 8 religious farsakh. The distance of the journey should be, while going and coming, equal to 8 farsakh. Each farsakh being almost 5.5 kilometers. Even if only 4 farsakh going and 4 farsakh returning, with the condition that neither the distance going nor the distance returning is less than 4 farsakh, so if the journey is less than 8 farsakh, as has been stated, the complete prayer must be performed. So now, first of all, the first condition, that the person had to travel for certain distance. Now, if somebody traveled for 3 or 4 or 5 or 10 kilometers outside his town and come back, that is not traveling, it's not called traveling. Now, for a traveling, there is certain distance. And this distance is equal to 8 farsakh. Each farsakh is almost 5.5 kilometers.
Each person is 5.5 kilometers. So 4 farsakh going means 4 farsakh going is 22 kilometers going and 22 kilometers coming. So roughly some say 22.5 and total going and coming becomes 44 to 45 kilometers. So it's put it about 5.5 kilometers, means 22 and a half kilometers to the hamlet of Shul. So if somebody going a distance outside the town less than 22 kilometers, he is not a traveler. If he go for 20 kilometers and come back, he is not a traveler. So first condition that he should exceed the limit of traveler or the distance. He should go to the reach the distance, which is say 44 or 45 kilometers going and coming. Then his prayer is complete, fully, most possible. Or more, and it becomes possible. So the first condition, he has to have the distance, or has to travel to the distance. Issue 315. If one's journey is 4 farsakh going and 4 farsakh returning, and one does not intend to stay at the place for 10 days on the way, one must pray qasr, even if one returns after 9 days. Now, here there is another issue, that if somebody stays in the new place, in the new town he is traveling, or even in the desert where he wants to go, if he has the intention to stay 10 complete days or more, then from that day, they say he is resident there, he is muqeem, and his prayer is complete, not qasr. So now let us say somebody goes to Abu Dhabi, which is a distance, and decide to go and stay in Abu Dhabi for 10 days or 11 days or 15 days. So here in Abu Dhabi, his prayer will not be qasr, will be complete, because he becomes resident in that new town. But if he's going from Dubai to Abu Dhabi, which is a distance, and he says, I will stay only 9 days or 8 days or 5 days, then his prayer is qasr, because he is staying less than 10 days. So a condition is that he should not have the intention to stay 10 days to be resident.
How do you think that the actual distance between the two things, or do you actually take the actual distance between the two things, or do you actually take the actual distance between the two things, or do you actually take the actual distance between the two things, or do you actually take the actual distance between the two things, or do you actually take the actual distance between the two things, or do you actually take the actual distance between the two things, or do you actually take the actual distance between the two things, or do you actually take the actual distance between the two things, or do you actually take the actual distance between the two things, or do you actually take the actual distance between the two things, or do you actually take the actual distance between the two things, or do you actually take the actual distance between the two things, or do you actually take the actual distance between the two things, or do you actually take the actual distance between the two things, or do you actually take the actual distance between the two things, or do you actually take the actual distance between the two things, or do you actually take the actual distance between the two things, or do you actually take the actual distance between the two things, or do you actually take the actual distance between the two things, or do you actually take the actual distance between the two things, or do you actually take the actual distance between the two things, or do you actually take the actual distance between the two things, or do you actually take the actual distance between
speak subliminally?
Well, from where to count the distance, this will come. From the border of the city to count the distance, that issue will come. But this is from one city to another city. Now the details, it will come. So first, he has to pass a distance. Second, that from the start of the journey, one has the intention of a traveling 8 farsakh. So if at the start one has the intention of a traveling 6 farsakh, for example, and when one arrives at one's destination, one then makes the intention of a traveling 2 more farsakh, one must perform the full prayer. Unless after arriving at one's destination, one makes the intention to travel a further 4 farsakh or more, and also to return, which is an intention to travel 8 farsakh in all, in which case one performs qasr prayer. So here, what you say, that the intention of a traveling should be from the beginning of your journey. Now if you are looking about after someone and you think he is there and the distance is, let us say, in 20 kilometers distance going and naturally 20 kilometers coming, which becomes less than 8%, when you go there and for your surprise he was not available there, now they told you he has gone to another city, if that city is nearby, let us say another 10 kilometers, so again that will not be a distance. So though from your town it is becoming now 30 kilometers, but because it was not meant from the beginning to travel 30 kilometers, then you pray here complete. But if after 20 kilometers distance, then you decided to go to a further 30 kilometers or 20 kilometers more, and naturally returning, when you return to your town, 20 and 20, 40, and 20 going becomes 60. So your going and coming should be complete 8 farsakh. Then that will be traveling. So in short, the intention to travel should be from the beginning of the journey to travel for 8 farsakh, or let us say 44 kilometers going and coming, from the beginning you should have that intention, not less than that. Issue 316, when intending to travel 8 farsakh, it is not necessary to be independent. For if one's journey is dependent upon someone else, like a wife accompanying her husband, or a child with its guardian, or someone with his employer who has the intention to travel 8 farsakh, then one must pray qasr. So now if somebody is linked with another person, if two people are linked together, now if the intention from the beginning is to go to that distance for the guardian or for the employer, it is sufficient because they know that they are going to travel to that distance. So here, let me clarify one point.
What he says, this is the town, here in the distance. But he says two points here actually. He says total journey going and coming should be 8%. That is one point. Secondly, he says each one of going and coming should be 4%. So is there any difference between these two? Yes. Because 8% may not mean going 4%. One may go through a short way for 3%, and return back from a longer way, which is 5%. So now total journey becomes 8%, but going in 3%, coming in 5. According to some of the ulama, he says it is okay in a traveler, because total journey is 8%, and that is sufficient. But according to Abdullah al-Baykari, he says no, each one of going and coming should not be less than 4%. So if you go 3% and come 5%, his prayer is complete, not possible.
But coming back also?
Yeah, coming back also because
it's
not more than, here is 3% in the Orient Islam.
Okay, but when
you come, then 5%. You are 5, not 8. Not 8. While coming 5, but while it should be while going 4 and while coming 4. Now while going is not fulfilling the distance.
When coming is more than 4.
Not more than 4. I mean he, when he went?
3. When
you
return.
No. When you return, why? But when you return, you have not done to complete distance. Now if you go 2% and you come 5%, will you pray? You are coming back 5. So going and coming should be 8. And the second condition, each one of going and coming should be 4. So if you are going less than 4, you are not a traveler. If you are not a traveler, then coming back only 5. 5 is not 8. If you come back 8%, a long distance, maybe because we have made 8%.
For example,
the student is 20.
Now the intention is 3%.
And that is 8, then 3
is 2. Further it goes. Another 5%.
Yes, another 5.
Or another 2.
Or another 2.
Or another 3.
Yes, but then...
when he comes back, it is 6.
It should be each one of going and coming completely. And according to Abdullah al-Fayyam, each one of going and coming should be 4% or more. He goes little by little. Unless then his coming becomes more than 8%. I mean, long distance, one coming is 8%. That is one long distance, long journey while coming back.
Sometimes if we go to
Al-Ain
and then go to something else, and then
we return
to the close shop and
we
come back to the Al-Ain,
then
it is
better
to make the
Qasr
not to perform.
No, Qasr to be performed. To Al-Ain is 120 kilometers. What you need is 22 kilometers while going. If you go 22 or 22 and a half, that is sufficient.
Okay, we come to the third, that the intention to travel 8 fasakhs remains throughout your journey. So if one on the way before having traveled 4 fasakhs, one changes one's intention or becomes uncertain, the prayer must be performed in full. Now if you go to 3 fasakhs and he decides to come back, now his intention is not continuous, so that is not sufficient. So his intention should remain throughout his journey. 4, that from the start of the journey, the intention is not to remain in a place for 10 days or longer, or to pass through one's home, that is to say hometown, village, etc., before having traveled 8 fasakh. Otherwise the prayer must be performed in full. And even if one is uncertain about what has been stated, the prayer must be performed in full. Now if somebody going, as we say, to another city, if he does not have the intention of staying 10 days, then it's possible. Otherwise, if you go to another city, though the distance is more than 8 fasakh going and coming,